Coming up, a couple of unique laptops, a gaming tablet with integrated controller, the most expensive TV you've ever seen, and Little Miss Muffet's Tuffet. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY9. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show on TWiT, where we get the greatest, coolest, latest stuff. Sometimes some very strange stuff, like today. And we get our TWiT staff to take a look at it. We're going to kick things off with a tablet that's unlike any other I've ever seen. Jason Howell produces and hosts TNT every morning, our daily dose of news on the TWiT network. He's also the host of All About Android, produces the Gizwiz, does many other things.
Yes.
His yellow gold is now already platinum.
Platinum, yeah.
How much did you raise finally?
It ended up cracking $10,000.
Oh, my God.
The goal was four, so needless to say, I was pretty stoked.
Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
He had a Kickstarter, or was it Indiegogo? It was Kickstarter.
It was Kickstarter.
Kickstarter project on his new album.
Yeah.
So this is the strangest looking. It's a tablet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's kind of its differentiator, right? It's obviously a gaming device, and that's what it's entirely designed to be.
Yeah, but look at it. Those are control. Oh, but then you slide the tablet
out. Pop it right out.
Oh.
And it's a tablet.
Typical
it's a seven
Android.
Seven-inch tablet. And I would definitely compare this to last year's generation of the Nexus 7.
Last year's.
Yes. Not this year. It's not the full HD, you know, 1080p display. It's actually 1280 by 800. But, you know, all things considered, the entire device is $250. So when you're talking about 7-inch tablets in the Android space right now, $250 is a pretty standard price point.
It's certainly this, affordable, and that doesn't
certainly
include
affordable. And this
the
one
weird
comes
doohickey
with,
you've got to insert.
Exactly. This one comes with the highly specialized gaming controller, which kind of has a Sega, was it the Game Gear, the portable?
Yeah.
Kind of feel to it. But
it's
I mean, it's
got,
just...
You've got a thumb controller, you've got a four-way controller, you've got
digital,
buttons.
You've got your buttons, all programmable, fire buttons, obviously, yeah. Depending on the game.
So it's like somebody stretched out a PlayStation controller...
Yeah.
And put a tablet in between.
Exactly. The tablet is your display. It rests right inside. This actually was first announced back at CES in 2012 as a 10-inch device. They ended up scrapping plans close to the end of last year and rejiggered it to be a 7-inch device. And they're just now, I think in June, released here for $250. UK availability was just announced for September 27th. So they're starting to kind of get this out there. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's a specialized gaming tablet, and it actually does a really good job at being that. This is definitely for the gamer. There aren't a whole lot of alternatives out right now. There's the NVIDIA Shield, but that's a smaller display, single integrated kind of device, all in one. This allows you to pull it out and actually make it a tablet.
This is like a mullet. It's a business.
Yeah.
Business in the front.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It's totally the
party in the back.
Party in back device. That's absolutely
perfect. The mullet of tablets. So I see speakers on the bottom. Are those active or passive?
Those are, I don't know if those are active or passive.
In other words, I'm asking if the speakers
if they're powered
are merely porting the speakers on the back of the tablet or if they're their own speaker system on it.
Man, you know, I'm just now realizing because I played in headphones because I was playing with this at home.
This is the greatest game ever.
It's really not that loud, so it must be passive, to be honest, because it's not passing through the very large.
Does the thing charge up? Are there batteries?
Yes. There's a battery in the tablet, not in the device itself. So it's pulling power specifically from the tablet, which is kind of one of the dings that you have, right? Gaming, especially on Android, and I'm sure just in general gaming, is pretty battery power hungry.
Right.
So the battery power, if you're gaming a lot using this, it's not going to last as long as maybe, you know, you couldn't just compare it to like your smartphone lasting all day, right?
It looks
a different
like
use case.
You still have access to the power port, the charging port at the top there. Is that right?
Yeah. So the charging port.
You could plug it in. Oh, no.
You could. So this is the USB power on the bottom, right?
Oh, okay.
It's what actually connects into this device.
So you can't charge it while you're using it.
You have this little port back here, which is kind of hard to see. So you could plug this in and just continue to power your play. But
so let's see. I want to see Crazy Taxi. One of my all-time favorite games.
So,
I thought the Android point of it was very good, but its controls are very tough to use on the standalone tablet because you're steering with the screen. It's one of those weird.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. So, I mean, obviously,
just
using
like
these
the arcade
controls.
Game. Look at this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love this game. I was so happy when it came out for Android. So, yeah, you've got your.
Was it the Genesis? What was this on? Or the
this was on
original Xbox.
It was on the Dreamcast,
I believe,
initially.
That's what it was.
And then you know they ported it to other versions as well.
Oh, look how easy that is.
But yeah, I mean. I'm not a huge fan of touchscreen controls. I don't know if there are many people that really are that would prefer it. I'm obviously playing horribly right now.
I bought this game just to play it because I have such nostalgia for it. But playing it on the tablet was very unsatisfying.
I'll go ahead and turn that down. Actually, those speakers are reasonably
loud. Enough. Yeah.
They're loud enough. Performance is great. You know, I played a number of games, and they actually have a list. It's a Tegra 3 processor inside.
Okay.
So you get access to Tegra Zone, which is kind of its own marketplace designed for Tegra-supported games. So there's a bunch of games there. If you go to the Wikipad site, there's over 100 games that are listed that have support right out of the box, which basically means the developers have built-in support for these controllers and mapped things accordingly. You also have access, because it's PlayStation certified, to get the PlayStation certified games on here as well if you want PlayStation games. I also happen to load up a little emulator.
Ooh.
And so I've got, you know, Super Punch-Out, which is one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. And, you know, hey, it does emulation pretty well as well.
At this price, I think it's great for kids.
Totally. I mean, $250, it's really hard to kind of pass that deal.
Is there any lag between the controller and the screen? Is it
not that I've noticed? It's pretty smooth. I mean, it's pretty solid. You're not doing it over Bluetooth, right? It's connecting through the USB on the bottom, so it's pretty instantaneous.
But as you say, the games have to be designed to work with.
They don't have to be, but there are games that work with NVIDIA processors specifically. This is capable of playing this.
So will any game work with it?
Yeah, pretty well. Okay, so any game will work.
How would Crazy Taxi know where you're?
Right.
Joystick is.
If the game has built-in support for mapping to hardware controllers, it will.
Okay, and most games do, it sounds like.
Well, a lot of them do. Okay. I wouldn't say they all do. You know, it's one of those extra features that game developers can add into their games. And some of them don't make much sense for a controller, right? They're full touchscreen games. It really wouldn't make sense to move it into a controller.
Angry Birds wouldn't be, it'd be, say, silly or
yeah,
you know, cut the rope.
Ridiculous.
But Crazy Taxi is a really good example of a game that's almost unplayable on a tablet, but is still looks great and be fun to play.
I know. And there's a, you know, Riptide, the Riptide 2 GP, or GP2 rather, that just came out, which is more like a water skiing game.
Oh, that was a fun one. I remember that.
Plays really well on here. And, you know, there's a number of different ways that you can play this game where you aren't using the touchscreen, where you can kind of bend the controller and everything. But, of course, with this, you can use these controllers on the side and play it. And yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. If what you're looking for is a device that can play some of the Android games, and there's a lot of them that are coming out these days, and play them natively the way you're used to playing on a console, I think this is a pretty darn good piece of gear.
Let's get the pros and cons.
So the pros, let's see here. Let me refer to my fancy piece of paper here. good dual-purpose device, and I say that specifically meaning that you almost get two in one here, right? You get a gaming system. You also get a standalone
tablet.
It's
the Sholo
tablet. That's really great.
Yep.
The controllers are actually really well-built and very comfortable to use over time, and you get that extra gaming access, that access to the PlayStation certified games as well as the Tegra Zone games.
Tegra Zone has some first-person shooters.
Absolutely. And it actually comes with some of that stuff already installed when you get it. Cons, it is obviously pretty bulky. You got to be okay with that and heavy. It's portable, but could you see yourself really throwing this easily into your backpack and not, you know, like it's just not like super small and portable.
Yeah, it's bigger than a 3DS or something.
But I think you're kind of okay with that if you buy something like that. Controller support sometimes can be a little tricky. We kind of talked a little bit about it. Even on supported games, sometimes the menus still require touchscreen. So, you know, you have to be okay with a little bit of that weirdness from time to time. And storage. Storage is actually lacking. It's
16 gig?
16 gigs, but you can't store games on there.
What?
So it has, well, sorry, 16 gigs of internal
and it has SD, an SD card,
but you can't store games on the SD card. So you're limited
That's
to 16
That's an Android
gigs.
Flaw, frankly.
Absolutely. It's hard to ding the device specifically for that, but being that it's a gaming device, having 16 gigs right off the top when that's a limitation might be a downside.
And you don't ding it for Android 4.1 for Jelly Bean 4.1. It's not the latest.
It's not the latest. You know, they were kind of slow out of the gate with this device initially, so I'm not surprised that it's still stuck on 4.1. It didn't really bother me that much. It's still Jelly Bean, so yay for that.
At least it's Jelly Bean,
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it'll get upgraded at some point, although I haven't seen any specific news for it.
Try, buy, don't buy? What do you think?
Man, I was right in between try and buy, but I think I ultimately just opted for buy. I mean, really,
at that price, why not?
$250 is not bad for what you get here, and you get the multi-purpose. You're not just locked into
tablet.
A gaming. Yes,
it's the
exactly.
tablet and the controller. I think for a kid especially, I mean, like a 13, 14-year-old, I think that's a great, great device.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with the WikiPad.
Good for them. Thank you, Jason Howell.
Absolutely.
We'll see you on All About Android later today.
I'll get to
5 p.m.
I'm mad.
In fact, we are going to let him go and go to work. While Tony reviews, we got two interesting Windows 8 tablets here. Iaz is going to show us the latest Transformer from ASUS. Tony's got an Acer. He's got the Aspire R7. Let's take a look.
I'm Tony Wayne for Twitter.tv and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Acer Aspire R7 Windows 8 laptop. Now, what sets this laptop apart from all the other Windows 8 machines out there is its easel hinge. You get a hinge on the base of the laptop, and you get a hinge right behind the monitor. So what that gives you is three different display modes. You can use it like a regular laptop. You can use it in this propped position where I like to call it the iPad position with the third-party keyboard. And you can also have a display position where you're showing somebody a presentation, like a presentation mode. Or you can close it and use it as, a giant 15.6-inch tablet. Now, this thing is not too hefty. It's just a little bit over 5 pounds, and you're looking at about a 1.1-inch thickness when closed. With the Intel i5 chipset in here, you're paired with 6 GB of RAM, 500 GB hard drive with 24 GB SSD for faster boot time, 4-cell lithium-ion battery, which I actually experienced better battery life than the specs listed on their website. You also have support for 2 USB 3 and 1 USB 2.0 and also SD card slot. Now, what's missing on this laptop for me was the Ethernet jack that I'm used to on my MacBook Pro. That's nowhere to be found here. Priced at just under $1,000. This is actually a very nice mid-range Windows laptop. The Dolby Home Theater sound system on here is actually very crisp and clear. It doesn't get as loud as some of the other laptops out there, but mainly because they're pointing downward, but you do get a very good stereo effect when you're watching movies and video on here that actually support stereo sound. If you are indeed used to using your iPad or any other tablet with an attached keyboard, you would notice that it's actually a pretty intuitive way to use a touchscreen machine, and you're not going to miss the little trackpad that's tucked behind your display. The keyboard on this laptop looks like a Mac keyboard, and it does sort of almost perform as well as a Mac keyboard. The hinge is very sturdy. I've been using this for almost a month, and I haven't had any wear issue whatsoever. Now, Acer did find a way to tuck in two magnets on each side of the keyboard. And also in the display, on the hinge and the back of the hinge. So it does do a very good job keeping everything closed and stay where it's supposed to. Now for the pros and cons of the Acer Aspire R7. The double hinge of the easel design is actually pretty awesome. The battery life is also really impressive on here. I've been consistently using this for about 7 hours on a full charge, even though on their website it's only listed for about 4 hours. The only con that I came across using the R7 is Wi-Fi connectivity. Now, I'm not sure if this is a hardware or software issue. It's too early to tell because there hasn't been any software update for this machine yet. But I do have connectivity issues that I don't usually see on a MacBook Pro. Buy, try, or don't buy for the Aspire R7. After using the Yoga, the Tai Chi, and now the R7, I have to say for a weird niche form factor Windows 8 touchscreen laptop, this is probably the top of the pack. So it would definitely be a buy from me. I'm Tony for Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and this is Acer Aspire R7.
Wow, this is so strange. As Snubs observed, it does look like the Starship Enterprise is about to take off. And we didn't misspell easel. That's how Acer spells it, E-Z-E-L. But that's what they call this engine. But Tony didn't really emphasize this. And I got to point this out just before anybody runs out and buys this. The trackpad is above the keyboard. This is not upside down. This is how it's made. The trackpad is above the keyboard. That would drive me nuts.
But it is a touchscreen, so...
I guess. Your wrist rest is here? Anyway, just I want to point that out. Tony liked it, and he says buy, but I just, you know, before you buy it, you might want to notice the trackpad is not where it should be. It's above the keyboard. I don't understand that at all. We're going to review another product in just a bit from a similar, the Asus Transformer, a venerable line, one of the longest-lasting, unusual configuration tablet laptop things. Iaz has the latest, the Transformer Book TX300, and an unusual chair. Shannon Morse, our producer, is going to review that. Before we get to that, though, let's talk a little bit about Shutterstock.com, a great place to go if you are one of those people who does a blog, does videos. If you need royalty-free stock photos, illustrations, vectors, video clips, man, this is the place to go. I want you to visit Shutterstock.com. In fact, I want you to create an account. You don't need a credit card. You create a free account. That'll give you the opportunity to use it fully, to use the search, the amazing search engine, which lets you not only search for nouns, but for adjectives. So you can not only search for iPhones, you can search for happy iPhones. You can not only search for bumblebees, you can search for yellow bumblebees, which is wild. There's some happy iPhone. That's a happy one and a sad one. There's happy iPhone users. So that's really cool. It also, once you create an account, again, a free to do this, you can also use their Lightbox feature, which means you can, what, there's no happy bumblebees in the world? You did misspell bumblebee. Very important, John, to spell bumblebee right if you want a happy one. There you go. You win the spelling bee, John Slimina. If you make an account, you can get a Lightbox, which means you can save images or vector graphics or illustrations into the Lightbox. That's great for saving, inspirations, saving ideas, also for sharing with coworkers because you can share those Lightboxes as well. All that's free. When you decide to buy, though, they've got some great deals. You can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription. That's the best deal. And we're going to take 30% off your new account when you use our offer code BEFOREYOUBUY9. That's before you buy in the number 9 for the 9th month. That makes it a very, very good deal. We have the 25 image a day account here at Twit. And that's kind of who would use that, a blog or something where you need a lot of images. It's really fantastic. Here's some good news. Shutterstock recently partnered with Facebook to provide advertising customers free access to all its images through Facebook's ad creation tool. So if you're using Shutterstock, if you're a business that wants a really great professional-looking ad, those are Shutterstock images. Great search tools, shareable light boxes. Check out the Webby Award-winning iPad app, which is, again, pure inspiration. Just a great way to search for concepts and ideas and get ideas. They're completely global. They're all over the world. They have offices in almost every country with multilingual customer service. Full-time customer support. I'm just a big fan. You want to try it? Shutterstock.com. 30% off when you decide to buy. Make sure you use the offer code before you buy, all one word, and the number 9 tagged onto the end there. And that'll save you 30% on your new account. All right, time to move on with our product reviews. You saw that very strange Acer. Now it's time for Asus. I think people sometimes confuse Acer with Asus. I do.
I constantly do it, too. But compared to the Acer, whatever the heck that thing is, the Asus Transformer seems a lot more pedestrian.
It does, doesn't it?
This looks like it's like a regular laptop. It's with their Transformer line. It's a Windows 8-based laptop. And as it's a Transformer, you can rip off the screen. It's a 13-inch display, And one of my favorite things about it is the fact that it's got a 1920 by 1080 display.
Thank goodness.
On a 13-inch screen.
That's beautiful.
Is, to me, at this point, a minimum. That's fantastic. Yeah. It makes everything look really good. It handles 10 points of touch because it's one of those screens.
Is that Jason?
I'll show you. Yeah. There's a picture of Jason because I wanted to show you that this thing has a camera like a lot of tablets. As you can see,
that's so attractive.
He was not having a good day. That was today. But the thing is, this camera is awful. 5-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
You're not seeing it very well through this camera because I'm telling you, the fact that ASUS makes a camera for the Nexus 7 that kicks this thing's butt confuses me.
I know. Why don't they put a better camera in there?
This is a well-lit studio, and things are grainy as get out. I was not happy with the camera.
Yeah.
But if you're taking a picture with a tablet
that's
13
inches...
Who
uses their laptop to take a picture?
It's a little awkward to do that. Now, it does connect with a proprietary dock connector, and it's really pretty satisfying. That click, this thing is not coming out. So this thing is going to be on there for a while. Now, the dock's really cool, though. It does have a trackpad where you would expect it, not like the Acer.
Not above the keyboard.
And if you can see on my screen right now, it says Data 1D and Data 2E.
What's that?
They're actually hard drives in the dock.
Oh.
So you get 500 gigabytes of extra space thanks to this dock, which is also a spare battery. So the tablet itself has 128 gigabyte SSD, but there's a 500 gigabyte drive in here.
That's cool.
So what the ASUS hardware or software does is it makes sure that you fill up that 128 gigabytes first on the tablet because you want to have that stuff there.
Right.
And then it'll start filling up those other drives. Up to you if you want to use
it. So you don't get to say data goes on the spinning drives and my operating system and apps go on the tablet? You don't get
to
do that?
No, the apps and things will stay on the OS drive of C. But you can also add things.
I see. So the internal drives are D.
Right.
And the drive in the tablet C. Okay.
Right, that kind of thing. So you can, if you want to mess with it, you can. But if you're not paying attention, it'll do it automatically.
Yeah.
It's a really, like I was saying before, great display. Really quite fast. It's got the last generation i7 in it, so it's the Ivy Bridge.
It's not Haswell yet.
Right. And so that, to me, was a little bit of an annoyance because this thing is $1,500.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, if you're paying top dollar, $1,500 and a cruddy camera is kind of annoying. But when it comes to the keyboard's really good. I got to say, keyboard's very good. Trackpad did something I enjoyed. I didn't even notice it because it's that good.
Yeah.
I don't notice it at all.
It looks like a MacBook, the keyboard... The chiclet keys and the trackpad.
It does have audio by Bang & Olufsen Ice Power. I didn't notice any spectacular audio coming out of this.
Yeah.
There's a couple of speakers on the tablet itself, and when you dock it, the sound comes out of the dock itself. And unless you're on top of another hard surface, that audio is not really pumping or anything. You're not going to change your home theater out for this thing. But it's really, I think, pretty good.
What about ports on the...
On ports, you know, on the tablet, it actually has a micro HDMI port just on
that's
the tablet.
Nice.
So
that's
if you
nice.
Wanted to hook this into, and that's an included, I believe that's an included accessory that comes with, you've got your headphone jacks, and on the tablet itself, that's pretty much it, and a power button and a volume rocker.
USB 3?
Two USB 3 ports.
Good.
Micro, I think, what is it, mini display port, excuse me.
Port. Okay.
This
What's
is my
that?
Favorite. This
What's
is that? Ethernet.
Ethernet!
On a
Where have you been all my life?
You know, sometimes you want to rip your hair out when wireless isn't working, and you're like, I can dock this and actually have Ethernet. And
that's
I love
pretty
that.
Amazing.
Full SD card slot there. And that's pretty much all for
So they're
ports.
Acting as if this keyboard is really a dock, it
this
feels like.
This is really, this is to me, this is really the closest thing to having a laptop that is also a tablet. Not one of these compromised things, because you're getting so much more storage, and you get that second battery, and you got decent speakers. I said decent speakers, not great speakers. Like
let's do the pros and cons.
Pros, the screen is beautiful, and it's the actual whole machine is very responsive with it, thanks to its i7 Ivy Bridge processor. The performance, like I said, great. The build quality, I really think it's sturdy, very, very sturdy. And that brings
That's unusual with one of those docking tablets. Sometimes they can feel a little flimsy.
Yeah. Now, if you look at the video, you can see the hinge. This hinge is massive, and that does add a bit of weight. On the con side, both of these pieces together are about 4.5 pounds. So if you're talking about a 13-inch notebook, an Ultrabook competitor, it's kind of heavy, actually, surprisingly heavy.
Yeah.
But you're not worried about that. Camera, like I said before, I absolutely despise. It should not be on this device. They might as well just cover it up because that doesn't exist.
A lot of laptops don't have cameras in the back.
True.
So
that
has a front-facing camera.
Front-facing
right?
camera as well. Biggest con though is that price at around $1,450. So $1,400.
That's pricey, yeah.
So it's one of the top line kind of ultrabooks you can get out there or hybrids, and that's why I have to give it a try because $1,500 you should be getting everything that's awesome.
It was close, though, wasn't it?
It's really close. Really close. I think this will work for a lot of people. But when the Haswell processors come out, I think this would be a definite buy.
And I'm sure that that's next. I'm sure it's just around the corner.
In October.
Yeah. The Asus Transformer Book TX300, a try, but a close try.
It's a really close.
Yeah. And I think, boy, it does look good. I like the brushed aluminum top that they've done on these things.
Oh, it's a beautiful design. And it's
really
very
pretty.
Very sturdy, too. Yeah. That's what I love about this.
All right, this is going to be fun. Shannon's been sitting on this next product for a few weeks now, or putting her feet up on it. As many of you know, I sit on... Oh, by the way, you know what? As you launched your review before I introduced you, and at the end of it, I didn't say who you were. That, in case you didn't know, was Iaz Akhtar, who is the host of Tech News Today.
Hi.
At 10 a.m. Monday through Friday Pacific.
Sometimes.
He sits over there. You see him on Know How. There he is, over there.
Over there.
See him on Know How every week, every Thursday, showing us how to do great stuff. What are you doing this week on the
This week, we're going to actually be building our own server, so web server. We're going to have.
Are you insane?
We need to. You kind of have to do this to do like 100 other projects, so I have to do this
Step
week.
Step one.
Yeah.
Step one.
All right. Sounds like fun. Thank you, Iaz. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, our producer, Shannon Morse. As many of you know, I sit on a yoga ball at my desk. It's popped a couple of times, but it's usually pretty reliable. You didn't know that?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, YouTube.
You don't ever want to be on a ball when it pops because you suddenly, it's like somebody pulled the chair off. It doesn't slowly go down. It just boom, and you're floating in air, and then not anymore. So this might be a better solution. It certainly won't pop.
I have an alternative for you.
The reason I sit on a ball is because it keeps me alert. It works at my core. This is called... The turnstone buoy.
The turnstone buoy. And they call that turnstone buoy because it looks like I'm sitting in the ocean on top of a buoy and I'm just kind of waving around with the waves.
It's not contoured for your bottom. It doesn't have a back support.
Not.
It's really just a tuffet.
Basically, yeah. So this thing, what I found was interesting about this is that it keeps me sitting upright.
That's what
a
ball does,
as opposed to slouching over.
Yep.
And opposed to a ball.
It's active sitting.
You know, you bounce up and down and it toughens up your legs a whole lot.
Yeah.
This ends up working out your core because it's keeping you sitting up straight and it's keeping you moving around.
Right.
Whether that's like swiveling around or focusing.
Well, see, a ball won't do that. You can't you can't turn that way. Yeah.
Another thing you can't do on a ball is actually like sit like this.
Well, you could, but you have to have extremely good balance. Yeah.
So I can actually balance on this and like just sit there on my computer all day.
So that would be the difference between this and a ball. It is more stable.
It is. It's a lot more stable. Yeah. It looks a little bit better, and it has this built-in bottom so that
coworkers are not going to be tempted to go at you with scissors and pop you.
Exactly. You can't pop this. Although with this one, it does scuff up really easily because the sides are plastic.
Okay.
So
is there a ball underneath? What is it that you're sitting on?
No, there's not. So I can lift this up. It only weighs about 20 pounds.
Okay.
Very, very lightweight. So the bottom of this is curved.
Oh.
Like that.
It's just like a pneumatic, but it's not a ball. It's solid hard plastic.
It's solid. Yeah. And the other nice thing about this.
But it's rounded so that you.
Is you can raise it up.
You can't do that on a ball without a compressor.
It goes from 17 inches all the way up to 22.5, I believe it is.
This is impressive.
Yeah. And since it's only 20 pounds, you could totally take this on BART with you. I'm just kidding. See, even I can lift it up.
Now, how much is this sucker?
$200.
Okay, see, a ball is $16.95.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey. Honestly, if I didn't have that kind of money, I probably wouldn't buy it.
But you like this a lot.
But I love this. It is so
comfy.
You
kept saying, come sit on my tuffet.
It's so much fun. Yeah, everybody in the entire workspace was like, can I sit on it?
So pros and cons.
So my pros on this is it's very comfortable.
I like how it can go up and
it's
down.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
And it keeps me very aware of my posture.
Yes.
So it keeps me moving.
Yes.
And that's a really important
factor. That's why I like sitting on a ball. It's a much more active way. You don't sit here and slump.
Yes.
You have to work to stay on your ball or your tuffet, as it were.
And my con for it is it scuffs and it is expensive.
It's a little pricey at $200.
Yeah, $200. But when you go on their website, you can actually customize it so you can get different colors and whatnot. So you
it's the
Moto
X of tuffets.
It's the Moto X of tuffets. Exactly.
MyTurnstone.com. It's called the Turnstone Buoy. Is it a buy, a don't buy, a try? What do you say?
It's a buy. I really liked it.
Wow.
I've been having so much fun with this.
Are you going to keep it?
Yeah, I hope so.
Wow.
I might have to send it back.
We're going to make you sit on it now for the next 2 years.
All right.
You committed. You said bye.
I've signed that contract.
It's a lot. You know, it's more expensive than a ball, but it's a lot cheaper than a typical office chair, which can be $800 to $1,000.
And a lot of those expensive office chairs, I still end up slouching.
I know.
I still sit there, and I'm like, meh.
I know. No armrests, no backrests. You really have to work to stay on it.
You do.
That's the point.
I like it.
Thank you, Shannon Morse. She is our producer. You can email Shannon, by the way, with suggestions for the show. It's byb@twit.tv.
Yes.
If you've got anything you'd like to see us review, you can just let Shannon know. She's very good at getting that stuff. And we also put all of our reviews up individually as well as a whole show on YouTube. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy.
We do.
Or download the full show on twit.tv/byb. Coming up, the most expensive TV ever. Well, actually not. Not, you know, as I think about it, it's the most expensive TV I've ever bought. But certainly we've bought more expensive TVs at Tech TV and other places. But we'll take a look at the latest in television technology in a second. But first, I got to talk to you about the latest in stamps technology. If you're still going to the post office, oh my goodness, that's so 20th century of you. Why not just use stamps.com and you can buy and print postage 24/7. You don't need an expensive postage meter. You know that postage meter ink is 100 times more expensive than inkjet ink, which is already overpriced. That's crazy. No, you use your computer, your printer. You can print right on envelopes. In fact, ooh, I love this. Stamps.com will take the address of your recipient from your address book, from QuickBooks, from Amazon, Etsy, PayPal. You don't type. It'll take your return address from your database. It'll put your company logo if you set it up that way. So, you know, when we can print it out with the Twit logo, our Twit return address, and then the stamps indicia. That's what they call the kind of it looks like a QR code for stamps.com. Post office loves stamps.com because they have all the information they need. It's computer readable. That means your mail gets there accurately on time. You can print postage for anything. I can even get, I'll come in and say, Frederick, print me up a page of stamps. And she actually prints on like an Avery label that's a sticky stamp. Of course, for packages too. And stamps.com will do all the work for you, fills out forms, international mailing forms, and more. We asked stamps.com users who've heard about it from our show what they thought. And Christian Langley uses stamps.com for his business, Easy Seals. They sell seals by mail. I'm just kidding. They provide engineering plans for building contractors to obtain permits. Kind of interesting specialty. But as you can imagine, what they're doing is they're sending out a lot of building plans, right? Anybody who does a lot of mailing is going to love stamps.com. He says he used to buy standard USPS stamps in rolls of 100 and go, stick them on. No. He then guessed, this is what I used to do, the weight per package. He said he almost always applied too much postage because he was using regular stamps in 46-cent increments. He heard about stamps.com from our show. He uses it to get, of course, always the exact right postage. In fact, you get, we'll show you how to get this free USB scale, so you're never guessing, you never pay too much, or it's more embarrassing, too little, right? That's why I always used to put too many stamps on, because the last thing you want to do is send something to a customer or a client, and it's postage due. That's the worst. Never happens with stamps.com. He says he uses stamps.com right from his desk, plugs the computer, the digital scale into the computer, weighs the package, calculates the postage. He says it adds real process efficiency. Typical engineer, right? It adds process efficiency to his company. You want more process efficiency, you want stamps.com. Here's the deal. Go to the website, stamps.com. You'll see on the front, you'll see a special $80 value. No, don't do that. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner right there and enter before you buy. That's our special offer code. One word, before you buy. That $80 value turns into a $110 bonus value. You get the USB scale. You get a month of stamps.com. You get $55 in free postage you can use over the life of your account. It is a really great deal, plus a $5 kit with all the little supplies in there and stuff. You pay postage and handling on the scale. It's just a few bucks, and you get to keep the scale, so it's a good deal. But do try stamps.com. That no-risk trial offer, stamps.com. The offer code, though, make sure you click that microphone and use the offer code before you buy. All right, I have to say I was a little bit suckered. Well, LG came out. I don't know. You went to CES last year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And in 2012 and 2013, LG Sharp, a couple of companies showed OLED TVs.
Yes.
Screens, this is the first new technology in quite some time. We've had plasma and LCD TVs for a long time. But OLEDs, all organic light emitting diodes, are something completely new, completely different. It's an emissive technology. The OLED pixels actually do their own light. It's very fast. You don't have the response time issues that you have with LCD. And because each pixel is either on or off or in color, you get amazing, deep, rich blacks, and perfect whites. It's very high contrast. I was very impressed when I saw these displays at CES. But they told us 25. I remember Lisa and I were looking at them, and the woman said $2,500. And we went, oh, that's great. And then somebody whispered in here, that's 1,000. So I thought, 25,000, never mind. They really were prohibitively expensive. I remember buying the first plasma TVs for Tech TV. We had plasmas in the lobby, $15,000 for 50 inches. Very expensive. Well, LG came out finally earlier this year with their OLED TV, $15,000. I said, that's out of my price range. Then Samsung surprises everybody with a big announcement a couple of weeks ago. They said, we have improved the process. We can make these panels more efficiently. That means we can drop the price $9,000. Now, that's a lot of money for a television. But remember, I'm thinking $25,000, $10,000, $15,000. $9,000 suddenly sounds like a good deal. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I bought one. Here, ladies and gentlemen, the most expensive review you will ever see on Before You Buy. Well, we talked a lot about it, and here it is. A $9,000 TV that's a bargain at that price. This is Samsung's new OLED, O-L-E-D screen TV, the S9C. It's 55 inches. The reason $9,000 feels like a bargain is because LG's was $15,000. This is the second kind of widely available commercial OLED TV. Organic light emitted diodes are a little bit different than the other prominent screen technologies. There's plasma, which is also a direct view. Little cells of plasma gas that are excited to emit color. And then there's LCD. LCDs are shutters, basically, liquid crystal shutters that let light in and out. They have to have a backlight. One of the problems with LCD, besides the fact that it's slow because it has to do the shuttering, is that it can't get blacks. The black light's always on. It's very difficult to shut that out completely. OLED is more like plasma. It is light-emitting diodes. Each pixel emits its own light under electrical stimulation. Very crisp. There have been problems with OLEDs in the past. You've probably seen an OLED screen on your smartphone. Lots of devices have had small OLED screens. Making big panels has been inefficient. Samsung says they can cut the price because they've got the technology much better. There's also some question about longevity on OLEDs, and that's something we'll just have to wait and see. But in the past, the blue pixels have faded a little faster than the other colors, giving the screen a bad look. So, having said all that, I was pretty excited to get this. And as you might expect with a $9,000 TV, it's loaded. It's got a camera for Skype built in. It comes with not one, but two remote controls, one of which is a very innovative universal remote with a touch screen. It also has Bluetooth. This is a Bluetooth remote that has voice control, but you can also use a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. It'll pair with any of those. And you can even use gesture control. I turned that off because every time I was watching a movie and I scratched my head, the TV interrupted and said, yes. What do you want? I don't know how useful voice control will be, but I do love this remote. It's very, very effective. Another thing that's unusual about this TV is, as you can see, it's slightly curved. Not a lot. The frame makes it look more curved than it is, but the slight curve isn't really necessary. It's just something Samsung could do because the nature of OLED is that you can, it's relatively flexible. Unlike a glass panel, you can bend it. Also, the frame that this is around gives it a nice light, airy appearance and is even more curved. So it appears to be more curved than it actually is. The curve, Samsung says, makes it more immersive. I think it just makes it look different, and that's probably good for sales. It's very, very thin, about a half inch thick all the way around. There's no big bulges because all of the electronics on the TV are put in this remote breakout box. It's connected by a proprietary cable to the television. It has on it four HDMI ports, Ethernet, optical out, component, and this is an infrared blaster, IR blaster for devices to control devices that don't work with the standard protocols, the HDMI CEC protocols. Almost everything does, so you probably won't need to use this
infrared blaster. Samsung says the other nice thing about taking this electronics, the smarts, the computer and the TV outside of the TV is this is upgradable. The panel is beautiful, is gorgeous, and if you want to add smarts to the software, you just replace this box and you can do more. There's one other thing this does that's very odd. It has, 3D glasses. These are active displays, so you have to charge them up via the attached USB port. But notice they're also equipped with headphones, so you can listen, and that's because there's something in here called multi-view. Okay, this is really weird, but if you have two people watching one TV and you have multiple inputs into the TV, you can literally watch side by side two different shows. Each of us will get a full screen because when the glasses are shuttered one way, I'll see my show. Shuttered another way, she'll see her show. We get our own separate audio via the built-in earplugs here on the headphones. So multi-view is designed to make for happy marriages by letting one person watch one thing, another watch another, or maybe play Call of Duty. I haven't used this yet. I can't vouch for how well it works. I don't know if I'll ever use it. What the hell? It's built in. 3D is supposedly very, very good on this because of the OLED screen. You'll have to ask somebody else. 3D just doesn't wow me. But ultimately, you buy this TV because of the OLED technology, because of the display. And just like the OLED screens on your phone, it is amazingly vivid. Colors are richer. The blacks are pitch black. It's truly off. Whites are actually white. Now, I've turned off some of the features in the TV for action. They have this interpolation that Samsung and other LCD manufacturers do on LCD panels. It's turned on by default. They call it smart motion. I call it horrible. It gives it a kind of a daytime soap opera feel, a video feel. At first, I thought, this is weird, and why would it be on an OLED TV? Turning it off, you can see action still looks just fine. In fact, if there's any complaint about this panel, is that it's so accurate, so detailed that you see flaws even in HD that you wouldn't see on a traditional HD TV. You see errors in the way it's shot. You see errors in color, errors in lighting. It's an extremely vivid, beautiful display. Consumer Reports called it the best HD TV they've ever tested. I haven't tested it yet, but I have to say, it blows me away. Now, there are a few things you ought to know about this TV. First of all, you can't hang it on the wall because of its curvature. That's going to get in the way for some people. Also, if you're spending $9,000 on any TV, but especially this TV, you're going to want to hire a professional calibrator to come in and do the settings. Samsung has made some interesting choices in the defaults. For instance, they've warmed it up considerably. They've turned on that weird motion artifacting. Some of the things that I felt like should be turned off, it comes out of the box ready for the showroom floor in very dynamic mode. You'll want to turn it to movie mode. If you can, spend a couple of $100, get a professional calibrator. You know, it's been easy for me. Scott Wilkinson and Robert Herron are actually fighting for the right to calibrate this TV. They all want to see it. We will have Scott come down. And what you're seeing right now is an uncalibrated picture with just a few settings. I changed it to movie mode. I turned it, it was in the warm mode on the color. I turned that down and I turned off the motion correction. Nevertheless, a really good looking TV. I'm about to set up a Blu-ray player and use these calibration discs to try to get it as best calibrated as I can by myself. But ultimately, when Scott comes down, he's going to have some hardware that's going to make a big difference. All right, well, what about the pros and cons? Well, the pros, it's really thin. It's a gorgeous screen. The smart TV features are great. The built-in camera, if you're going to use Skype, is a real pro on this. And I love, believe it or not, the all-in-one Bluetooth remote. It works with my cable box. It works with the TV. It gives me all the features that I want. This is a pretty slick little remote. Cons. You can't hang it on a wall. It's not as big as some bigger TVs, 55 inches. And most importantly, the biggest con, $9,000. Should you buy, not buy, try it? Well, if you've got $9,000, this is easily the best HD TV on the market today. It's not even close. It's a great HD TV. In a couple of years, it'll be half as much, maybe even less. And I know that we'll all be watching OLED TVs in a matter of a few years. If you want to be the first in your block to have the best TV out there, I got to say, it's a buy.
You got to have a lot of money.
it's a buy.
But I got to tell you, when you see it, and I know you guys are going to come over when you do, and you'll go, yeah, it's a buy. It's just really, really gorgeous. It does need professional calibration. And, of course, anybody who's spending that much money on a TV can afford a few hundred bucks for a professional calibrator. There are settings on this TV that no other TV has. In fact, we were going back and forth before the show. Is this a Before You Buy or is this a Home Theater Geeks? When Scott and Robert Herron come over to fight over calibrating it, I think we're going to make it a Home Theater Geeks, mostly because nobody's going to have any of the you could change the amount of red in flesh tones only. I mean, it's just wild. The settings in this thing, and I looked at it, I started to calibrate it, and I said, no, I'm just going to screw it up. So it'll be a special Home Theater Geeks. We'll see more of that. I do think prices are going to drop a lot. I do want to point out a couple of things that, since we recorded that review. I did sit down and watch a 3D movie. There is one advantage to this. It's an active glasses. It's shuttered. Normally when you watch 3D in a shuttered glass, it dims it because you're only seeing, you know, you're switching the picture off and on. This screen is much brighter than typical plasma or LCD screens, even brighter than LCD screens. So I did not see that dimming. The screen brightens up to take care of that difference, and it is a really good-looking 3D picture. I'm not, as you know, a 3D fan, but if you're going to watch 3D TV, if you like 3D TV at home, this is definitely the way to go. Second thing is a not such a good thing. The software is, I can tell, a little bit beta. I'm able to crash this TV at will. I know exactly what commands will actually crash, reboot the TV. They got to fix that. I've been checking for software updates every day. No update yet. I'm sure they will. There's a little funkiness in there. These are the first few thousand units sold, so I suspect those will be fixed over time. I love the fact that you can remove the box and upgrade it, and I expect Samsung to do that because you spend so much money, you're really spending money on the OLED panel, not the smarts. It should be an easy thing to upgrade. Pretty impressive TV in every respect, and I have no hesitation saying go see it. And when the time comes that OLEDs become affordable, whatever that price point is for you, you are definitely going to want to take a look at an OLED. Beats even plasma, hands down. Hey, that's it for Before You Buy. I want to thank our reviewers, Tony Wang and Ayaz Akhtar, Jason Howell, Shannon Morse. Thank you for watching. We do this show every Tuesday about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv. Please come by and watch us do it live if you can. You can see all the hilarity that ensues. If not, you'll see the nice, clean, edited version at twit.tv/BYB after the fact. And, of course, wherever you can subscribe to podcasts. Each individual review, as I mentioned, on youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. And remember, you gotta watch Before You Buy. See you later, everybody.